Good job. Thank you. Come on, y'all give it to them. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Appreciate you singing.
Thank you.
Boy, you sing high. You're a soprano, huh?
I don't know, I guess.
You don't know? Praise God. Thank you again. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise God. Let's dismiss with a big, now do it now. Y'all listen to me, class. With a big round of applause. Kids Church and our awesome youth group is dismissed out the back end. Amen? Oh, the youth? Well, they didn't tell me. It don't matter. I don't remember all that stuff. Youth, you don't get to go because you don't get to go. It's the second Sunday they stay in here and get to hear me preach. Hey, so you youth pastors, I'll introduce you in a week or two. Y'all get used to having to remind me of everything, okay? It's just part of it. Or Heidi. Where's Heidi? Heidi, you got to remind me because that's your job. I rely on her and everything, y'all. Glory be to God. All right. Who brought your Bible? Let me see them. Raise them up. Let me see all the Bibles. The Word of God. Praise God. That's what it changed your life, right? I mean, it's that Bible. The Bible says that the Bible is the truth. And the truth makes you free. And I don't know about y'all, but we need to be set free in these days because there's a lot of bondage out there. And it's time that the captives get set free. And the only thing that will make you truly free is the Word of God. That's why the devil's fighting it so much. That's why through a pandemic they tried to stop churches. And I told you a little bit last week, but thank God for Texas. And for our government, because I'm just so thankful that we have a government in Texas that passed not just one and not just two, but three bills that protects churches. We can never, because now it's law, we can never be shut down like we were shut down. And the enemy shut it down for a reason, because he knows that if they keep you from church and they keep you a social distance and they keep you where you're masked up all the time and you're away from people, then there's not very much power. You know, because the Bible talks about where two or more are gathered together, there's some power. And we need to understand that. Amen? Now, I want to jump right into a message. Obviously, y'all know that for the last year, we've just been, because of a pandemic and things that's happened in our world, a president that got kicked off social media. They opened up the border. We know, I have a cousin that lives on the border. He ranches in Arizona on the border. And they're coming across so fast that they're walking over mesquite trees. And within the night, they're chalk. They just walk over them, and they've walked over them so much. They just passed gun laws that they're trying to do a lot of things that we as free people, we stand against. And why is all this happening? Well, we're in the end times. We have to understand that. Nothing to be afraid about. I've been talking to y'all for a year about the end times. And we do not get afraid and get in fear about Jesus coming back and then there being a 7-year tribulation. We also talked about after the 7-year tribulation, when all of us Christians are gone, after the 7 years, we come back to the earth for 1,000-year reign. No one preaches on that stuff. No one even knows it. 1,000 years, and here's the good news, there's not going to be any sin. You're going to see things happen like the lion laying with the lamb and not trying to eat the thing. Because there's going to be a new nature, praise God. You know, there's something about this Christian stuff that we've got to get a hold of so that we can live by the kingdom ways, because you and I, as a Christian, lives a different way. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And the newness is the Word of God. And we live by this book. We just don't play this book. We don't come to church just to feel good and then live back in the world. No, we are not supposed to live of the world, even though, say it with me, we live in the world. Yeah, we see all the bad stuff happening around us, but you and I are protected by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. So it's time that we get a backbone and start living by the principles of God. If it is wrong in this word, then it should be wrong to us. And the world has made a lot of things wrong, right, and right, wrong. And someone has to stand up and be bold enough, regardless if we're live on however people are watching. We're not afraid to speak the word of God. I mean, I've gotten some nasty emails and nasty messages before. Look at me. Ask me how much I care. Now wait, because if you don't have the right heart, you'll miss what I mean by that. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm saying that I don't care to where it moves me into having insecurities and getting into anger and fear and doubt and all the things that come with someone putting you down. No, His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He carries us when we can't carry on. You see, so we've got to draw on that. Okay, now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to kind of go past some things. Last week we stopped at verse 19, even though we went down a little bit. We stopped at verse 19, Acts chapter 2. Now remember, just to catch you up just real quick, you start off in Acts chapter 1 talking about the day of Pentecost. You talk about two baptisms. When I was growing up, we only talked about one baptism, and that was the baptism of water, the death, burial, and resurrection. The baptism that Jesus did, the baptism that you and I do after we give our life to Jesus. Look at me, y'all. If you've never been baptized, I don't care if you've been saved for 30 years, you need to be baptized. Because it's the first act of obedience, the death, burial of the old you. Before you gave your life to Jesus, before Jesus became the Lord, listen to that, the Lord of your life. And then when you come out of the water, you're resurrected like Jesus was. He conquered death and hell, thank God. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You are resurrected from the old you, and you're a brand new person in Christ now. Then you start learning this Bible and start learning who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's the first baptism. The second baptism is the baptism that the Bible says you still have to ask for it, but there's power with this baptism because it's when the Holy Ghost, glory be to God, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that's a big teaching, you know, because the evidence of the Holy Ghost coming on you is the evidence is tongues. Tongues that my church, when I was growing up, said it was of the devil because they just didn't understand it. Any of my Baptist friends always tell me, you know, I just never understood speaking in an unknown language like they did in the Bible. Where the Bible says in this book, in Acts, it says that no man, when you speak in tongues, understands it but God. Okay, well, it don't take a rocket scientist or a theologian to understand that. This cowboy understands that if no man understands it and the devil doesn't understand it and only God does, then I might want to pray in it so that the devil can't come against it. So that's why I pray in the Spirit quite a bit. And don't get me wrong, you don't have to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to go to heaven. I mean, there are denominations that teach that. I disagree. If Jesus is Lord, you've confessed Him with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're saved. Heaven bound. But what you want in these days is that power. So when you read Acts chapter 1, it talks about after you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll have the power to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. And so there's a lot to that. And you come to Bible studies on Tuesday when we do here. That's when we can help you understand it instead of getting scared and running away because someone's speaking in tongues. You see, you start getting teaching on it though and find out, oh my goodness, it's actually in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, why is the devil trying to tell everybody they don't need it or it's of the devil? Well, because he wants you to pray so he can understand it and then come against what you're believing God for. That's what the devil does, right? John 10:10, what does it say? The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I know other translations says it a little bit different, but that's actually what it means. The devil tries to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. That is his job, y'all. So we have the power through the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the Father, the Son, the third of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. Man, you need that in your life. So pray about it if you don't have your prayer language and you haven't spoken in tongues and you just don't understand it and you can't get your mind around it. Well, that's your problem, actually. You need to get your mind out of the way. And just by faith, begin to pray in tongues. Okay, thank you, Lord. Sorry about that. I ask you to forgive me. The Lord wanted me to handle one thing that I wrote down, and let's just do it real fast. How many of you know the Bible says to be led by the Spirit of God because we're sons of God? So I want to do that because he'll bring it to my mind and say, hey, I need you to attend to this. There's people here this morning that has been dealing with some problems in your nerves. I mean, it might be the sciatic. I don't know what it is. The nerves in different areas of your body. And the Spirit of God, as I was praying, said, I want you to attend to that and let's lay some hands on people. And there's the anointing of healing here this morning. You know why? Because Jesus is here. The Bible says where two or more are gathered, that Jesus is in the midst of us. So if He's here, the healer is here. So us, we believe it by then faith. And the Bible says to lay hands on the sick. This is Mark chapter 16. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This morning, I'm sure there's things that people are dealing with, but the Lord wants me to deal with this one thing. If you have been battling some nerve issues, regardless if it's a sciatic hurting your back down your legs, or if it's a nerve somewhere else, I need you to come here right now and I want to lay hands on you. Come on. Just get up out of your seat. It's going to take faith to get out. See, this is why the Lord wanted me to deal with it. Come on. If you've been dealing with some nerve issues, then the Spirit of God is here to heal you now. He does not want it to wait and carry on into next year or any other time. He wants it to be tended to right now by the power of God. Amen? And so if you've been dealing with some of these areas, that the anointing's here. And you need to now get your faith up right now. If you're standing here, that means that you need to be delivered from whatever it is that is tormenting you in your body. Because your body was made in the image of God, in the fullness, and it should not be hurting. Okay, well, sometimes it does, though, right? Because of life and the sin nature and us having to work and labor and, you know, we hurt our back and we, you know, things happened. Riding horses. I want y'all to know, I don't bull ride or ride Bronx for a reason. Because you're going to have some nerve problems when you get bucked off. So I'm the roper. I like to stay on my horse. But there are times when something happened, like the other day. And I was minding my own business. And I stepped my left foot in the stirrup and I got up on my horse. And I don't know why, but I felt him and he bowed his old back and I'm thinking, okay, I heard this son of a gun can buck. So I said, I'm smart being 51 years old. I'm going to just step off and let that sucker buck on down the arena. Not with me on it. But as I stepped off, he moved and my foot, it slipped. And thank God he moved on and my boot came off and I hit the ground. When I hit the ground, I just planted. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, this thing hurt all the way up. I began to yell at the devil in my arm and kick the dog and beat the horse. You know, you do all those things, right? It just happened. Okay? But here's the good news. Thank God that I pleaded the blood of Jesus before I started. And I prayed Psalms 91. Or it could have been a lot worse. Okay, so things happen in our bodies. Now, if you're dealing with something, you need to know that God wants you completely whole. Amen? So that's why we pray. That's why the Bible says gather to the elders. And, you know, in most denominational churches, you write their name down on a piece of paper. It's called a prayer list. If you don't believe in healing, then there's no reason to write your name down on a prayer list. But if you believe in healing, that name ought to go off the prayer list. Father, y'all stretch your hands just towards these people. Father, in Jesus' name, are you here? In Jesus' name, I come against any nerve problems from anybody here in Jesus' name. And when I touch you, y'all just receive it in Jesus' name. Nerve problems, be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. Receive it in Jesus' name. Bodies line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name and be healed. We don't accept anything other than wholeness in bodies right now. Come on. Y'all pray in Jesus' name out there. We thank you, Lord, that this body lines up with the Word of God. He has work to do, sir. We give you praise that these bodies are lined up. Nerves, calm down in Jesus' name. And be healed by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen? All right. Thank you. Now listen. Listen, y'all. As y'all are going to your seat, I want you to say out of your mouth, I'm healed. Okay. Okay. So let's get to Acts chapter 2 real fast. Acts chapter 2. It's 11:35. Got time. Now, last week, we begin to talk about the end times. It shall come to pass in verse 17, Acts chapter 2, that in the last days, says the Lord, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. It talks about the servants, which is people that had worked for them. Man, he's pouring out his Spirit on everybody. So he just backs it up. Look, it God shows no favoritism, in other words. That's why we're not moved by works, right? We don't get saved by being good. We get saved by receiving Jesus as Lord, the Savior. Okay? Okay, so in 19, he goes on to say, and I'll show you wonders in heaven. And last week we talked about the seven wonders of heaven. And we began to talk about it. Oh man, it's good. I mean, the seven wonders, wow. It's sad in one way because one of the wonders is not very many people are going to go to heaven in the big scheme of things. I mean, I know there's, you know, a few hundred here and lots watching possibly that are going to heaven because Jesus is Lord. But think about it. How many people, did y'all see the traffic on 29 just going to burn it because of that festival yesterday? Mom called and said, wow, the traffic coming from Austin. Have you ever gone down 35? Get past the Capitol? You're stopping a lot of times. I mean, just there's a lot of people, and I wonder how many of them are not at church this morning. Well, a lot, right? And some just flat don't believe, and some are, you know, just busy or whatever and just didn't go to church. But the majority of them don't. Okay? Now, let's go on down and let's read verse 21 on down that says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who's the Lord? Say it louder. Right? I mean, we've got to understand that. He's Lord. I'm a Jesus man. I mean, people know that Jesus is my Lord. They don't even have to ask me if I'm a Christian. They know because I'm constantly calling on the name of the Lord. And what does it say? If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Now look at verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. And by the way, let me stop just as a, it's not really a rabbit trail, but it's just a thought that I want us to think about. Jesus got to witness, because of the power, a lot of wonders and miracles and signs, right? I mean, Lazarus being dead for a while, come forth, and he walked out of there. Blind Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, just so many miracles happened because the healer was there, okay? Now think about this though. If you're not seeing signs and wonders in the church today, it's because there's a whole bunch of unbelief. We gotta start believing, y'all. Because all things are possible to him that believes. We gotta start believing that God still can raise people from the dead. I mean, he's doing it in deep Mexico still. People that don't, I mean, you gotta get to them hiking in there for a long time, and you'll see people get healed. You'll see the dead in Christ, or the dead being raised because of the powers. Well, we should be seeing that here. So all of y'all that walked up here to receive healing, I expect every one of you to give me a report that those nerves don't hurt anymore. They don't, you're not hurting in your body. Why? Because of the power of God. Now, listen to me though. If for some reason they're still bothering you, you keep the confession, I'm healed. Don't get it. Don't let your mouth say what you feel. You're not moved by the five physical senses. You're not moved by what you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. You are moved by what? The Word of God. And the Word says, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Okay. Not you're gonna be, you're healed. So, in order for that to manifest, you've got to constantly say, I'm healed no matter how I feel. I'm not saying we deny the fact. We're just believing God to override the fact with the truth that you're healed by the power of God. And you keep saying it over and over until it happens. Say amen to that. Okay. Now let's move on down. So, miracles, wonders, signs which God did himself in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Verse 23. Him being delivered by a determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Talking about Jesus. Verse 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosened the pains of death. Praise God for that. Because it was not possible that he should be beholden of it. For David speaks concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Man, that's good news right there. Verse 20. 6. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. In other words, let me read the Amplified, because it says, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue exulted exceedingly. It was just saying good things, in other words, your mouth. Moreover, my flesh also will dwell in hope. Underline that word hope, because that's something I want to talk about this morning. We've got to have hope in these days. Because all around us, it's going to look hopeless. It's going to look bad. But God wants you to remain in hope. Because that hope will encamp. Pitch its tent. That's the only time I love pitching a tent, a lot of times. In a spiritual sense. Because most people pitch a tent in a trial or tribulation and they stay there for a long period of time. They're mad at God. They're mad at people. Why am I going through this? Why would God allow this? And for you know it, you've been in that area of a tribulation time for a long period of time. You just built a tent. No, here the Bible's talking about hope and allowing hope to pitch a tent. Let hope dwell in you. It's anticipation of the resurrection, man. So even though we're going through a lot of tough times and seeing a lot of tribulation and trials, Hopefully you're doing what the Word says and you're going through the trial and tribulation and fear no evil. Remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, walk through that thing. Don't stay in the middle of it, in other words. Get on through the thing and be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Be an overcomer, because God's called you to overcome, not to be another victim. Okay? So He's trying to say, in these days, in these last days, before Jesus comes back, stay in hope of the resurrection, man. Now let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians to your right. And I'm going to minister just for a little bit right here, and then we're going to shut her down and we're going to baptize, I know, at least one little one. And then we're going to have a rodeo meeting to organize for this weekend's rodeo. But I want you first, I want you to receive what 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Say amen when you get there. Look at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, because remember, right above in the end of 4, it's talking about when Jesus comes back, the trumpet Christ will shout, the dead in Christ, we talked about that. If someone has died in Christ, it does not matter if they were buried in their body, or if they were cremated, or if they died in a plane crash and their body was scattered. It does not matter, because the dead in Christ will rise. And at that moment, God gives them a glorified body. A body with no sin. If God created you out of the dust, the dirt of the ground, He can bring the body back and cause it to be raised up to meet Jesus in the air. And then you and I that are still here will then be raised up, okay? And so it just talks about that. I love 18 though, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, it says, wherefore comfort one another though with these words. In other words, this is not scary. This is preparation. Verse 1. In the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Okay. Don't stop right there, though. A lot of people stop right there. You know, He's coming back as a thief in the night. Listen to this, though. Verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly sudden destruction comes upon them. Travail upon the woman with child, or as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, it's going to happen. And Jesus is going to come back. But ye brethren, listen, this is talking about us, are not in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief. In other words, you and I know the signs of the times. We're watching them unfold right now. We're seeing some crazy, crazy, crazy things happening in our country. Moving away from the foundation of God like we've never seen, and fast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not afraid of being political behind this podium, because I am not afraid of losing a 501c3. Listen though. Do not ever get upset when someone starts talking about politics here, because it's our fault. We are the ones that backed up and allowed the world to take prayer out of school. We should have never allowed prayer to be taken out of school, because it's caused a lot of terrible things. And we've allowed secularism to come in and move our country that was, remember, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. A lot of preachers were the ones that wrote the Bill of Rights that our country is founded upon, and the Constitution, etc. Okay? We have backed up. So don't be upset when one of us gets excited and starts talking about us being bold enough to stand in these days against the enemy trying to move our country away from God. And I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not talking about the sacred cow that some other religion worships. No. We eat cows. I don't know why I went there, but it seemed good. Okay. Apologize about that. But anyway, But it's the truth. Fajita meat is good. So. You, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light. In other words, you look up because your redemption draws nigh. We are ready for the return of the Lord. It's not going to be a secret to us. No, we are living for God in these last days. My God, it's time that... You don't mind if I come down here and get excited for a second, do you? I mean, it's time that we get excited for the Lord Jesus. And we live by what we preach. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. Thank God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. But we don't all walk in the mistakes. We just say, God, forgive us. And let's move on and do right. We are made righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So there's something about living in this kingdom and taking it seriously. Because the ones that aren't taking it seriously is the ones that keep going through all the junk in life. The trials and tribulations. But the rest of us, man, we got to be the overcomers and help those ones get matured and grow up in the faith. That's a different message there, but it's good. It's a good message. Okay, look. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and that they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for the helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. I would shout right there. Did you hear that? How many people have blamed God for bad things? And here, God is saying, for it's not God that's appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, verse 10, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Hallelujah. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourself, listen to this, together and edify one another, even as also you do. In other words, stay in hope. I see seven things. Take that back. Six things. I looked at my notes. It was seven. But I'm going to back it down to six. Okay? Because last week was seven. That's where my mind went. But it's six. So we're going to get out of here faster. Here's six things that I saw real fast. Number one. We are not in darkness. Just because He's coming back as a thief in the night, not for you and I, because you and I are discerning the signs of the times. We're seeing all these things take place. Okay, here's what stops some things. That dadgum preacher is meddling in my business. He start talking about that alcohol stuff and that tobacco stuff. None of my business, to be real honest, but I am here to tell you it's not good for you. Just ask my family. We did it, and it was hard to get off of it. Not me, though. I was the only smart one with my brothers. I don't know why. You know why? I know why. I got sick. My dad gave me a pinch of Copenhagen. Oh, that was bad for this little body that never had seen anything like that. No bueno por nada. Oh. Then I tried to get smart when I was in college, and I saw some old cowboys, you know, smoking a pipe. I thought, I'm going to try that. So I went to the tobacco store, and I got one of those square tobacco, just straight tobacco. And I bought a corn cob pipe. I didn't know what I was doing, but I thought, well, I've seen this in the movies on John Wayne. So I pinched off a little bit, and I stabbed it down there in the corn cob pipe, and I had this lighter. And I turned it upside down and I lit it and I took three puffs and was sick for 3 days. That was the worst thing I could have ever done. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is there might be some things you need to let God deal with you in. Me too. Jamie got on to me just the other day for my patience. How dare her? I don't remember why, but I was passing someone and, you know, they were driving slow. Was that one of y'all? I'm just saying there's some things all of us need to work on, right? But one thing we don't need to do is not allow God in that area. We don't want to quit that. No, you need to. Whatever that area is. You are not in darkness, number two. We have to understand that as Christians, we are the children of light. Man, we're supposed to let the light shine. Man, when I'm going out there and I'm roping and we're at that rodeo even this weekend, man, I want to have the joy of the Lord. I don't want to be upset and worried about the rodeo, you know, being professionally run. No, I'm going to have faith that all our volunteers are going to run that rodeo the way it needs to be run. And we're not going to clown around. We're going to run that thing off. And that's what I demand that, yes. But I'm not going to be worried about it where it upsets me. I'm just going to move on. It's kind of like this church. There's things that happen in churches that some people just think might not be right. But you know what? It's not going to move me. Let's just get it right if it's wrong. And we'll do better. And we'll ask for forgiveness if we did something wrong. But it's not going to stop us from leaving the church, is it? We're not going to stay in offense. We are the children of light, number three. It's time to stay awake. In order to stay awake, we need to be alert and watchful and cautious and be on guard, because Jesus could come back at any time. When the clouds get up there in the sky, I'm constantly saying, well, it could be today, Lord. Because that's what the Bible says, is the clouds will come and then they'll be separated and then Jesus will appear. So we have to be awake. Not asleep because our minds are focused over here. No, we need to be focused on the Spirit of God. God needs to be first in our lives. That's why Matthew says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not after rodeo, or not after trying to win the world. Not after steer roping or whatever I'm doing. No, I need to have my focus on the Lord first. And then guess who's second? My wife. And guess who's after my wife? My children. Amen. My children are not above my wife. My wife is not above my God. Same thing with her. I am second in her life. But man, that messes people up. Why would you let God be first? Well, because I'm going to spend eternity with Him. But I want you to be with me. So me and Mama just get in agreement, and we get to be with God forever together. Amen. Oh, Jesus, it's 11:55. I got to hurry. Number four, stay sober. Stay sober. That just means stay calm and collected. Don't let your emotions rob you of getting off of the kingdom of God, because that's what a lot of people do. Man, they're in fear and they're in doubt and they're upset and they're worried and anxious. No, no, no. Be sober. Number five, put on the breastplate. You know what that is? Faith and love. The breastplate of righteousness. You're right. Regardless of what you did in your past, and your past might have been 2 hours ago, that you did something wrong, you blew it, whatever it is. That's the past. We forget those things that are behind and press forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus, brother. Come on, man. The past is the past. We're supposed to lay it and leave it aside and press forward. But the devil wants you to remember past. Don't you remember your past. You're forgiven. Amen? You're forgiven. Okay, here's the last thing. Recognize that we have the hope of salvation. Are you saved? That's hope. Hadn't you read the end of the book? If you've got hope, then you win. Amen. You win. Regardless of what happens to you. I don't care if sickness and disease tries to overtake someone. Cancer. Your hope is in your salvation. So the question is, are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you're standing before God Almighty Where's everybody going? Where y'all going? Boy, those ushers get ready, don't they? I like that anticipation of salvation. Look at, they got Bibles. Come on, baby. Because we give a Bible to someone that gives their life to Jesus this morning. So I like that anticipation. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ooh, there's going to be a lot of people get saved this morning, and they're ready. You see how sharp they are? They're like a gun, remember? You want salvation? Are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If you died, do you know where you would go? Because you only go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. God does not want you to go to hell, and neither do I. That's why I do what I do. I want you to go to heaven. Everybody in here and y'all that are watching, bow your head and pray this prayer with me right now. If you're not saved, you're going to ask Jesus into your life. I'm going to pray the prayer. You pray it after me. Christians, you pray this prayer with me so you'll learn the prayer and you can lead others to Jesus. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. Or if you're watching and you just prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life, I want you to message us. If you're watching, by the way, and I know we have people watching from all over the country, you need to share this and get this out to a lot of people. Tell us where you're from. Tell us if you enjoyed it. Don't tell us if you don't. If you just gave your life to Jesus, let us know. You can put it in a private message. Y'all that are here, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, now it's time to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just out of respect of God and your neighbor. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand up boldly and say, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. Never be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. Jesus declared this. He said, if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. I'm not ashamed of Him. If you just gave your life to Jesus, would you just please, with boldness, tell God you were serious and you gave your life to Him? When I count to three, ready? With boldness. 1, 2, 3. Go, go. 1. Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, girl. You can put your hand down when you get that Bible. Thanks, brother. Thanks, sister. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God for some. Y'all that are going to get baptized, go get her and let's get prepared. If you've never been baptized and want to, the water's warm. I think. It's a tank right back there. We're going to baptize very quickly and then we're going to have a rodeo volunteer meeting. If you want to help in some way, and we need it. This is how this church has paid for everything debt-free. It's amazing. And now I'm praying that the rodeo, hopefully we need to stain the concrete. Look at it. They did such a good job out there. Chester helped us find out in the foyer in the kids' church. Well, look now. So they want to stain this before they put new carpet on this stage. I was wanting to go and start believing for an indoor arena in case it rained. But I'm having to wait on that until this stains on this concrete and we've got this carpet recarpeted. Amen? But in the midst of it, we'll still be believing for the indoor arena. Amen. It's going to be a major thing for us. So that rodeo helps. So we need a lot of volunteers in the concession. So it's not a big burden on. And trust me, we sell a lot of food. Oh. We need help in parking. Just to help park people. There's going to be a carnival. A lot of the carnival that was just in and burn it is coming here, I think, tomorrow. And they'll start setting up. Then on Thursday, we'll start with the carnival and the first performance of the rodeo. So we need a lot of help. I need a little bit of help in the arena. You need to have some cow sense, and we need that. We can try to help some city folk, but you need to know what a cow is, okay? And there's sometimes we just don't know. It's no big deal. Not a big deal. It's an honor that people gave their lives. Thank y'all for coming this morning. I know it was a little different since I did music. By the way, next week, we have two members of George Strait's Ace and the Hole Band going to be playing with us. So, my friend Rick McRae, he's been with George Strait from the beginning. They're the ones that hired George Strait. And now people think it's George Strait's band. No, the Ace and the Hole Band was there before George Strait. The bass player, it will be here. The piano player that actually formed the band, man, he wanted to be here. He's played here before, but he's got to take care of his family on the weekends, and they have some major medical issues. So we're going to have fun next week. So don't next week. The rodeo crowd and all the ropers will be here, and they'll come to church. Amen? All right, we're going to dismiss. It was an honor for you new people to be here. We've always said it like this. After the rodeo, we'll let people join. If you've never joined a church, we want you to join this one if God has planted you here. If he hasn't, you need to find a church that's a Bible-believing church where you can plant. Because where you plant is where you grow. Amen? And it'd be an honor to have any of you join. So after the rodeo, in the weeks after that, we'll have people that want to join come join. But right now, I want y'all to come witness a baptism, and then as soon as this baptism is over, we're going to just get in these chairs, and we're going to have a quick rodeo organizational meeting, and then that's it. Amen? So stand to your feet, and we'll be dismissed. Again, if you can stay and you want to help during the rodeo, we need it. Stick around, and we'll tell you how that is, what we're going to do. But as soon as I say amen, we're going straight to the baptism, and I want y'all to witness that, and then we'll get into our meeting. Father, we love you. We appreciate you and all that you do. We thank you, Lord, that we're still living in a world, and so we still have dreams and visions, and we want to accomplish things in life. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that if we'll keep our eyes on you first, then you'll help us be the visionary that you called us to be. And we'll see things come to pass in our lives. So we're still living. We're just living in your kingdom. So help us, sir. Help us live by the principles of the Word of God. Help us in all area. For those ones that gave their life to you, the Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing. Now they get to go to heaven forever, and there's hope in that. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for that. We also thank you for this baptism that we're about to do and for the organization of the rodeo. We give you praise, sir. Thank you for all that you're doing here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, real fast, Mike McCloskey is in the back. There's still room because it takes a lot of sponsorship. If you have a business that you want to put a banner up or you want to be a part of sponsoring the rodeo, in the back, I want you to see Mike. Also, if you have banners and you haven't got them to us, get them to us before Wednesday, because we're going to try to put up all the banners around that arena on Wednesday. Amen? Anything else, Mike? If you're a sponsor, we have tickets for you that you get. When you're a sponsor above, I believe the banners, they're in the back, and you can get your tickets. Amen? All right. Love y'all. Big round of applause. You're dismissed.